I'm asked a lot lately, when am I going to apologize for coming out in support of this war? I have a very simple answer. This year, this summer in Washington, we had a visit from the cicada, this bug that comes out every 17 years. Talk to me the next time the cicada comes. Then I'll tell you whether this war was worth it. Because I signed on for a long-term effort to try to partner with people in the heart of that world to change the context and create an environment, one place in the heart of that world, and it's got to start with one place, where people can stand up, tell the truth, and fight the war of ideas within. And to stand up, and when someone says, let's launch a jihad here, or I'm going to commit suicide there, to call it by its real name. People say, how will you know when we've won? I have a very simple answer. We will know when we've won, in my view, when Salman Rushdie can give a lecture in Baghdad. Oh, that may not be in my lifetime. May not be in your lifetime. But this region got in trouble over a period of 800 years. It's not going to get out of trouble in 3 years, 5 years, or even 10 years. The first rule of holes is when you're in one, stop digging. The job of our generation is to partner with people there to stop digging. And hopefully, our kids or our grandchildren will live in a world where you will not have so many contexts producing so many angry people. So that's where I was coming from. I believe that, you know, as you live your life, if you're a statesman, I'm not, I just get to write about them. But if you're a statesman, you might in your life get to participate one time in tilting a part of the world that's tilted in the wrong direction and tilting it in the right direction. I've always believed that we all owe a huge debt of gratitude to Mikhail Gorbachev, Edward Shevardnadze, Helmut Kohl, Margaret Thatcher, George Bush Sr., Brent Scowcroft, Jim Baker, Genscher, for having, at the end of the Cold War, in a very deft way, taken that whole Soviet empire that was tilted in the wrong direction and participated in tilting it in the right direction. Oh, Putin's Russia's got a long way to go. But you see, I believe the agent of change in the world is something that takes 9 months and 21 years. It's called a generation. You give me a generation of Russians who grow up, even in Putin's Russia today, highly imperfect, but tilted from the wrong direction in the right direction, I'll give you a different Russia in 60 years. You give me an Iraq that is tilted from the wrong direction to the right direction, where you can get 9 months and 21 years of people growing up in a different context, and I'll begin to give you a different generation and a different voice coming out of that part of the world. I have no idea whether this will work. I've tried to use my voice in the most sane way to tilt this insane at times administration in the right direction. But I urge you, whether you hate Bush or love Bush, whether you're going to vote for him or for Kerry, to simply think about one thing. The issues surrounding this war are serious issues, and they go far beyond whether you hate Bush or love Bush, hate Kerry or love Kerry. To my Republican friends, to my liberal Democratic friends and colleagues, I have one simple message. Some things are true, even if George Bush believes them. It took me a long time to get my mind around that, I have to tell you. It took me a long time. And to my conservative friends, I have an equally blunt message. Just because you have a hammer, not every problem is a nail. And that is how they've approached this war. Let me simply conclude by this portion by saying that, because this is very relevant, what I'm thinking about now is what columns to write, you know, when I come back. And if we are going to change the context, and that is the challenge I believe we face, then we have got to have a policy, whether it is from Bush or from Kerry, a holistic policy that connects the dots. And the huge failure of this administration has been to present us with the hammer and nail policy and not a policy that connects the dots. And let me explain here what I mean. There was a week about 9 months ago where two things happened in the same week. One was that the World Trade Organization talks in Cancun failed. And in the same week, Tom DeLay and the boys up in the House of Representatives killed an effort to impose greater mileage standards on American automakers in Detroit. Happened in the same week. And I wrote a column about it at the time because it really struck me as the center of what does it mean to connect the dots. I said, well, let's think about what happened in Cancun. The Cancun talks failed over the issue of agricultural subsidies. It was because Japan, Europe, and the United States refused to give up the massive subsidies to their farmers. The $3 billion we give to 25,000 cotton farmers in this country, for instance. Well, by failing to do that, what did we do? We probably, somewhere down the supply chain, we bankrupted a farmer somewhere out in the developing world, let's say in Pakistan. Then in the same week, as I say, thanks to Tom DeLay and the boys, we killed any pressure, any incentive on Detroit to improve mileage standards, ensuring that we will make ever-increasing transfer payments to Exxon, which will make ever-increasing transfer payments to the Saudi ruling family, which will make ever-increasing payments to the Wahhabi religious establishment, which will use that money in order to build yet one more madrasa that will teach only religion and not skills that young people need in order to succeed in the modern world. Somewhere in the developing world, somewhere, say, maybe in the same village of the farmer we just unemployed in Pakistan. Now, our unemployed farmer, the public school system in Pakistan is completely broken. He has no choice if he wants to educate his sons in reading or writing. Forget about the girls. He has no choice but to send them to the madrasa. They serve a hot lunch. Their tuition is free. They only teach religion courses and one brief poli-sci course. Very brief course. It says all your problems are because of America, Israel, the Crusaders, and the Jews. Very short course. After a couple years in the madrasa, one of the sons decides to leave and join the jihad next door in Afghanistan. One day in Afghanistan, one of your brothers or sisters, fathers or mothers, involved in U.S. Special Forces there, kills his son. And we think we're winning the war on terrorism. Oh, not a chance. Not a chance. Unless we have a holistic policy that connects all the dots, a serious Arab-Israeli policy, a serious developmental policy, a serious energy policy, not the one we have right now, which by any other name would be called No Mullah Left Behind. That is the Bush energy policy, okay? Unless we connect all the dots, there's no way we are going to win this war. So as you cast your ballot, whichever way you do, and it's not my business to either ask or to tell, to the extent you're going to vote on this issue, to me, that's the question we should all be asking the candidates. Lord knows if we were having a real election campaign about the real issues threatening and challenging our lives, those are the issues, those are the questions that I think we should be asking. End of speech number one. Can I get a drink of water?